The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Thank you all for tuning in. On today's show, we have back-to-back episodes of Dark Venture, a suspense thriller anthology series. If you enjoy this show, please check out the other anthologies I have in the archives. Please take a look at the Spotify poll I have in regards to the length of the episodes and to get you guys' feedback on it. And be sure to check out all the links I have in the descriptions. And also, please follow and rate the podcast. With all that, please enjoy the show.
Dark Venture. Over the minds of mortal men come many shadows. Shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Darkness is the absence of light. So in the sudden shadows which fog the minds of men and women are to be found the strange impulses which urge them on to their venture in the dark. And now, for tonight's venture in the dark, we bring you Mr. Charles Barrett in Eclipse.
Tell me, Mr. Police Commissioner, how long ago did life begin for you? 40, 45 years ago? Well, life for me began about 24 hours ago. Yeah, 24 hours ago, I woke up. I was lying in a ditch beside a railroad track. When I first opened my eyes, I saw the sky. It was clear and very blue. I sat up and saw that my knee was sticking out through a hole in my pants, that all my clothes were dirty and torn. I started thinking, wait a minute, what's happened to me? I rubbed my eyes like you do when you first wake up. My hand ran across something sticky. I looked at my hand. Blood. Yeah, dry, sticky blood. I figured I must have fallen off a train or been thrown off. I got up. Then this bum started walking up to me. I could see him quite a way off.
Hey there, young fella.
Yeah?
You hurt?
No, I'm all right.
Well, what's the matter?
Nothing, huh? I'm all right. Dizzy, I guess.
You've been kind of banged around.
Yeah, I guess I have. I better rest a bit.
Sure, Pete, sure. That's the idea. What happened? Get bumped off the rods?
I don't know.
Well, how'd you be in the ditch if you wasn't bumped off the rods, huh?
I don't know, I tell you.
Okay, Pete, okay.
My name isn't Pete.
Oh, well, I just call everybody that. What is your name?
My name is... Well... My name is...
Well?
I can't remember my name.
You can't remember? Are you kidding? What are you trying to pull? Don't even know your own name.
I tell you, it's true. I don't know. I can't remember.
It's not so easy to forget your own name, Pete.
Look, don't ride me. Something's happened to me. I don't know just what, but something's wrong.
Well, where are you from?
What?
Where are you from?
I don't know that either.
Well, what are you trying to get away with, Joe? You can let me in on it. I won't spill.
I'm not trying to get away with anything. I just can't think. I just can't remember. It's crazy.
Hey, you really got it bad, ain't you, Joe?
Well, let me see. No, it's no use.
Hey, look in your pockets. Maybe you'll find something with your name on it.
Yeah, maybe. I never thought of that. At least it's a chance.
Yeah.
But,
what's wrong now?
There's nothing in my pockets. They're empty.
You're in bad shape. You don't know who you are, where you're from. You ain't got nothing in your pockets. Where you heading?
I can't remember.
Well, if I was you, the first thing I'd do is try to find out who I am. That's kind of important.
Yeah.
Well, I seen the train pass through, the train you fell off of. And I don't know where it was headed for, but I do know where it started out from.
Where?
Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah. Now, the thing for you to do is head right back to Chicago and start asking questions. And, oh, maybe you better pay a little visit to the hospital and have them look at your bean. Now, Pete, you don't look so good to me. Mm-mm. You don't look good at all.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, that's how it started, with loss of memory, amnesia. That was bad enough. But if I'd known how much bigger and more terrible my problems were going to be, I never would have come back to Chicago. Anyway, I hitchhiked in. When I saw how people were looking at my torn clothes, I thought I'd better pay a visit to a tailor.
Good afternoon. Come in.
Thank you. I'm
such a beautiful day, I don't feel like working already, but when it's got to be, it's got to be. What can I do for you?
Well, my clothes...
Such a mess. You had an accident, eh?
Yeah, I'm afraid I did.
What's the matter with me? Sit down, sit down. You look terrible. You could use a little drink, some brandy, maybe?
No, thanks. I feel okay now. I'd just like to have these clothes sewn up and pressed a little. Could you do it while I wait?
Certainly, and with pleasure. Look, go into the back room and throw your clothes through the door. You'll find the wash basin. You can wash that cut on your face.
That's very kind of you. There's only one thing.
Yes?
I'm flat broke. I couldn't pay you for them now. Maybe in a day or so.
All right, a day or so, a week or so. Go on, make yourself at home. And while you're washing up, I'll mend the pants. I'll get them in first-class shape.
So I went into the tailor's little back room and took off my suit. I went over to the washstand, started to wash. My head felt better as soon as I got a little cool water on it. I sat down. I tried to figure, what would I do? Where would I go from here? Then I noticed something about my pants belt. It was bulky, had a little zipper in back. When I opened it, money started falling out in tight rolls. Bills were crisp and new. I thought my heart was beating loud enough for the tailor to hear it as I counted the money. There was $50,000.
Hey, mister, how are you coming with the clothes?
Huh? Oh, yeah, they're ready. I'll hand them to you through the door.
Good. I'll have them fixed up like new in no time. You sit there and relax. You look like you can stand it.
Yeah, relax. Relax with 50,000 bucks strapped around my stomach. Well, little tailor fixed my clothes, and I looked fairly respectable again.
You know, I never seen such nice material in a long time as that suit.
Is that so?
Yes, it cost a beautiful dollar, believe me. Where did you get it?
Where did... Wasn't there a label on it?
No, the label had been ripped off, so why am I asking so many questions? Goodbye and good luck.
What do I owe you?
So, when you earn a few dollars, come back and we'll figure it out, eh?
Well, let's do it.
About $20? But before you said you were broke. This I don't understand.
That makes two of us, my friend. You can imagine how I felt, can't you, Mr. Commissioner? I didn't know what to do, where to turn. I thought of going to the police, but something in my subconscious mind warned me against it. When I looked fairly respectable again, I went out on the street and began walking. I didn't know where I was going or why. 50,000 bucks. I tried with every ounce of strength to crash through the wall that separated me from my past. Oh, it was no use. I must have walked for miles. Because suddenly it was dark. I was on a dismal little side street lined with hock shops, hamburger joints, and honky-tonks. And then some punk kid brushed against me.
Hey, mister.
What?
You better fade fast.
What?
You're being tailed.
What do you mean?
A guy's been following you for the last hour.
Following me?
Relax. Don't get so jumpy. Boy, you must really be hot. Now, look into this window. You can see his reflection. The tall, skinny guy in the white suit.
I see him. How do you know he's been following me?
Because I've been walking a little behind you ever since you turned down 14th Street. And I can tell when a guy's being tailed.
Why are you telling me then?
Because maybe you'll be a big-hearted guy and slip me a bill for it. And because maybe I don't like cops.
Cops?
Sure, he's a cop. I can tell him a mile away. Yeah, you must really be hot, mister.
It's easy to say now that I know what I should have done, Mr. Commissioner. I should have gone up to this guy and had a showdown right then and there. But panic is a funny thing. It begins almost before you know it, and there's no cure for it. No cure at all. I began hurrying as fast as I could. And I didn't stop until my wind gave out and my legs weighed a ton. Then I looked back. I'd lost my friend in the white suit. But for how long? I had to find a place to sleep that night. I saw this little hotel on a side street. Straightened my tie, wiped the sweat off my face, started through the lobby. There was no one at the desk. I rang the desk bell. A little fellow with glasses came up.
Yeah?
I'd like a room.
Rates are $1.50 in advance.
That's all right.
No luggage, huh?
No, I'm just staying overnight.
That's all right. Very few of them bring any luggage. What's your name?
Huh?
Just want your name for the hotel registers, huh?
My name is Bronson. Howard Bronson.
Howard Bronson. I thought for a minute you were going to say you were one of the Smith boys. Here's the key, Mr. Bronson.
Okay.
Now for the $1.50.
Yeah, here.
$20? Is that the smallest yet?
That's all I have.
All right. I suppose I can change it. You sure it's good? Didn't make it yourself now, did you?
It's good.
Oh, no offense. Just my own little joke.
Okay. I'll take another nickel out for this newspaper.
Sure thing. And here's your change. Now, why don't you go up to bed? You look very tired.
I tried to sleep, but it was no use. Why had that man in the white suit followed me? What had I done? Not knowing almost drove me out of my mind. Out of my mind. I was already out of my mind. And finally, I must have dozed off, because I was suddenly in the middle of a terrible nightmare.
No, I won't give it up. I won't stay there. Leave me alone.
Mr. Bronson.
What?
Are you all right, Mr. Bronson?
Yes, I'm all right. Who is it?
The room clerk. Would you open the door for a minute?
Yeah. Come in.
Several of the guests heard you screaming. We wondered.
There's nothing, just a nightmare, I guess. I'm all right now, I think.
I'm glad to hear that.
Is that all you wanted to know?
Not exactly.
Well?
A detective came in a while ago inquiring about somebody.
Detective?
Yeah, city detective. That is according to the badge you showed me.
What did he want?
No one named Bronson.
Then why are you bothering me for?
It wasn't Bronson he asked for, but his description of the man fitted you exactly.
How long ago was he here?
Oh, about 20 minutes ago. Your name is Bronson, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
You know it's technically against law to register under a name.
My name's Bronson.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, that's all. He must have wanted somebody else. Says he's been checking up on all the hotels in this neighborhood. Says he might drop back later.
What did he look like?
Oh, tall fella, kind of slim, wearing a white summer suit.
white summer suit?
Yeah. You don't see many of those nowadays, do you?
No.
Yeah, you sure you're over your nightmare?
Huh? Yeah, I'm all right now.
Okay, then. Good night, Mr. Bunch.
Night. Oh, say.
Yeah?
If that fellow does come back...
Detective?
Yeah, the detective. If he does come back, let me know. I just want both him and you to make sure I'm not the one he's looking for.
Okay, Mr. Branson. You're in there.
After that, I didn't want to sleep. I got very jittery. I paced the room. Smoked one cigarette after another. Why had I said that to the clerk? I couldn't be so lily white with that 50 grand strapped to me. Still, maybe it would be better to have it out with the guy once and for all. Finally, I forced myself to sit down. I picked up the paper and started to read. The front page was filled with news of a war I couldn't even recall and names that meant nothing to the shadow that had engulfed my mind. But down in the corner of the front page, what was this? A detective slain on train. Detective slain on train. George Bailey. Chicago Detective Bailey. The man in my nightmare was found dead this morning in a roomette on a westbound train. Police officials report that he was on the trail of one Joe Latterly, who is believed to have killed the detective during an attempted arrest. Police throughout the state are on the lookout for Latterly now. He is known to be carrying $50,000 in stolen currency. $50,000 in stolen currency. Now, what was I going to do? I was not only a thief, I was a killer. But funny thing, somehow I didn't feel like a killer. I didn't feel like a killer at all.
Mr. Bronson! Say, that detective came back. He's here with me now. He'd like to talk to you.
Detective? Oh, yeah, sure. Be glad to talk to him. Well, wait just a second, though. I'll throw some clothes on. No, thank you. I wasn't having any of this. The only thing I could think about was to get away. I rushed to the window, raised it. A fire escape led right down to a back alley.
Open up, Mr. Bancher.
I slid over the sill and started down the fire escape. As I raced down the steps, I heard excited voices above me. And then they were shooting at me. This was a new sensation, Mr. Commissioner, and not exactly the most pleasant feeling in the world. Well, that convinced me. I was a killer. A killer at bay. What could I do? Where could I go? It was almost midnight. There was not one person in the world that I could turn to that I knew. Oh, I didn't even know my own name. Wait a minute, yes. Yes, I did know my own name. Joe Latterly, the newspaper said. Joe Latterly. I saw an all-night drugstore down the block. I closed myself in the phone booth there. Started thumbing through the directory. Sure enough, there it was. Joe Latterly. I wrote down my address. Began dialing my telephone number. And while the number rang, I felt a cold sweat come rolling down my face and neck. Soak into my collar.
Hello.
Hello. Is this the Latterly residence?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want?
This is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
It don't sound like you.
I had a little accident.
You get the money?
Yeah.
Any trouble?
I killed him.
Oh.
Look, I better see you right away.
Yeah, but don't come here. The cops are thick as flies. You better meet me at the usual place.
The usual place?
Yeah, at Mom's.
Okay, at Mom's. Oh, hey, look. This accident kind of messed up my memory. What's Mom's address again?
229.
229...
9th Street, apartment 204.
204, okay, I'll see you there.
Gee, you sure sound funny, Joe. What happened?
I'll tell you about it when I see you. So I had a wife, and she was in on everything. You see, Commissioner, the jigsaw puzzle was beginning to make some sense. A wife. I couldn't even remember the color of her hair. If only I could break through the shadow. 10 minutes later, I was standing in the entrance of a very classy apartment hotel lobby, not a soul in sight. As I began looking down the list of numbers for the right doorbell to ring, I felt myself going shaky again. There it was, 204. I pushed the bell and waited. Then the door buzzer sounded. I pushed open the door and started across the lobby. No one in sight. No one. That was a break. I pulled my hat down over my eyes as I started up the steps. See, I was beginning to think like a hunted man, like a killer. I took the stairs to the second floor. I started down the hall. 200. 202. The next door, 204. The door was ajar. I wanted to call my wife, but what was her name? Honey? Honey, are you there? No answer. I pushed the door open. The room was in darkness. I felt along the wall for a light switch. Found it. And there, waiting for me, was this detective. The tall, skinny guy in the white suit. I let my nerves take over. I jumped from the room, slammed the door shut, and started running again. But this time he had a better chance at me than before. As I hurried through the empty streets, I could hear him coming right behind me. I ducked down alleys and across backyards. He was right on my tail. I couldn't run much further. I was all pooped out. Then I bumped smack into somebody.
Hey! Watch where you're going.
I didn't see you, officer.
Well, I'm not exactly an officer. I'm a night watchman. Who are you running from?
Why, nobody. Nobody at all.
I looked up and down the dark street. The detective was nowhere in sight.
I don't know. You weren't exactly strolling along. Come over here to the streetlight. Let me take a look at you.
Well, you must know I got in a little jam with a lady.
So that's it. The way you run, I bet you're a hard man to catch.
Yeah.
Well, get on with you and be more careful next time. You may not always get a head start.
I guess that's right.
Yeah, good night to you.
Oh.
Yeah?
I live on the other side of town. What's the quickest way to get home?
Yeah, there's an elevated train station 2 blocks from here. That's your best bet.
Okay.
You better hurry, though. The last train pulls in at 1 o'clock, and it's pretty close to that right now.
I'll hurry. Night.
I began walking again. Once I got away from this neighborhood, I'd have a chance. Chance for what? I wasn't sure. But a man with 50,000 bucks could do a lot of maneuvering. I saw the lights of the elevated station ahead, and in the quiet night, I heard the rumble of the approaching train, the last train. I started jogging. I couldn't miss that train.
Hey, wait up, you!
Took a quick glance over my shoulder. It was him again, my friend in the white suit. I raced up the steps 3 at a time. When I got to the top, he was at the bottom.
Stop, or I'll kill you!
I'd never heard a deadlier sound than that voice. The last train was just pulling in. The detective was coming up the stairs, kind of slow. For some reason, I didn't have time to figure out. The train stopped. The doors swung open. I got in. The doors closed, and the train was on its way. I looked back. The detective was standing on the platform just looking at the train. I didn't get it. Why hadn't he come after me? I couldn't figure it. Then I decided I'd better get some information from the conductor. Say, can you help me?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to know?
Where's this train go?
63rd Street.
63rd Street, huh? Can I get the state highway from there?
No, you're going the opposite way.
I've kind of mixed up my directions, huh?
Well, the only way to get where you're going is to take another car back to the loop.
Thanks.
That was what I wanted to know. I decided to get off in a block or two in case the cop was waiting for me at 63rd. He must have figured he could beat me there. He'd probably have quite a little reception committee waiting. So I got up, started to walk to the door.
Hey.
Yeah?
Where are you going?
You said I was going the wrong way. I'm going to get off at the next stop.
You can't get off till 63rd Street. This is an express.
I was just about ready to crack. I knew it'd be curtains for me as soon as I got off the train. I kept hoping for a miracle. Maybe the train would crack up or stop one station too soon or...
Oh, no. Oh, it was no use. Finally, the conductor called the station.
63rd Street, 63rd.
And the half dozen sleepy passengers started getting up and heading for the doors.
Then I got an idea. Maybe I could stay in the car. Maybe I could wait.
When the last passenger got out, the conductor looked over at me.
This is where you transfer back to the loop.
Where's the train go?
Up a few blocks, and we turn around and head back.
Well, couldn't I go back with you?
Sorry. You got to get out here and cross the bridge.
Oh, but I don't see any...
I don't make the rules, buddy. The company makes them for me.
Well, I tell you, I'm just going
hey.
To... Hey! What's the matter?
There's somebody behind you.
Just come with me. I got a gun right against your back.
It was him. I felt the gun rubbing against my spine. I knew I had only one chance. So I whipped around. I was lucky. I caught him with a hard right and he went down. I jumped fast and got his service revolver. He didn't stay down long, though. As he got up and lunged at me, I let him have it. Right between the eyes. So there's my story, Mr. Police Commissioner. I'm Joe Latterly. I killed two cops, one today and one last week. I stole $50,000. I'm tired of the whole thing. I'm glad it's over.
It's quite a story, mister. I don't suppose you remember how or why Detective Bailey was killed last week on that train out of Chicago?
No.
Well, we've reconstructed the crime pretty well, we think. Began a week ago when a fellow named Steve Roycroft came to headquarters with a complaint against one of his employees whom he suspected of embezzling $50,000.
And that employee was...
Joe Latterly.
I see.
Latterly had disappeared and Detective Murphy was assigned to the case. Later that day, he found Latterly taking the morning train out of Chicago. He called Roycroft and told him about it. Both Roycroft and Murphy made the train on Latterly's trail. They confronted him and got back the $50,000.
Who got the money back?
The man it rightfully belonged to, Steve Roycroft.
Well, where did I...
Just a minute. Roycroft got his money back, but Latterly made another try. He overpowered Murphy and killed him. He would have killed Roycroft, too, but Roycroft jumped for his life from the speeding train.
Wait a minute. You got it wrong. I jumped from the train, remember?
Exactly.
But you just
said... You're not Joe Latterly, my friend. You are Steve Roycroft. When you got your money and jumped from the train, you lost your memory. Then when you read that we were looking for the killer, Latterly, you naturally assumed that you were him. Of course, we thought Latterly still had the money.
Good heavens.
What's the matter now?
Don't you realize what I've done?
What?
Well, thinking I was Joe Latterly, I killed the detective who was trying to bring me in.
Detective?
Yes, just now, on the elevated platform.
Oh, but that wasn't a detective at all.
Well, then who...
He was Joe Latterly trying to get back his money. Or should I say, your money.
Joe Latterly.
That's right. And there won't be any charges. You killed him in self-defense. Yes, it was Joe Latterly all the time. That's why you met him in that apartment. It was his hideout. I know this has been a great shock to you, Mr. Roycroft.
Shock, yeah?
You're not well. You need rest. I've sent for an ambulance to take you to the hospital. Psychiatrist there will be able to help you recover the balance of your memory.
I hope so. I hope they can make me forget what I thought I was.
How do you mean?
I've lived the life of Joe Latterly too well. It's done something to me. I'd begun to think like he must have thought. Like a hunted killer. It's not going to be easy to return to the commonplace, routine existence of this Steve Roycroft after what I've been through. No, I hope I won't become too... bored, Mr. Commissioner. Next week, at the same time over most of these stations, we'll bring you another original story about the land of the shadows. The story of two killers and of retribution out of the forgotten past. Join us then to examine at first hand the strange impulses which urge human beings into their dark venture. Eclipse was written by Larry Marcus and Robert Light and featured Charles Barrett as Steve Roycroft. Original music by Dean Fossler. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Dark Venture. Over the minds of mortal men come many shadows. Shadows of greed and hate, jealousy and fear. Darkness is the absence of light. So in the sudden shadows which fog the minds of men and women are to be found the strange impulses which urge them on to their venture in the dark. There are some men whose entire lives are concerned with evil. They're born to flourish and die in the shadows. Their every move is a venture in the dark. It is a story we tell you tonight as we present Marvin Miller and Eric Snowden in Pursuit. A dark, deserted side street within the inner reaches of London. In the distance, Big Ben somberly tolls the evening hour.
Quiet now. Here he comes.
You see, Henry? You see how I followed your orders? Every day for a week I've watched him.
Not so loud.
Every day he takes the same streets.
A tedious little man, walled in by habit.
What's that?
Nothing, Bard, nothing. I'm sure he has the money.
Sure as death, Henry. When he left his office, he was counting the notes. See how thorough I am?
All right, now shut up. When he gets here, you know what to do. Don't make any mistakes this time.
Well, what did I ever do that was...
Shut up, I said. It is. Go on.
Beg pardon, sir?
What's that?
You wouldn't happen to have a match now, would you?
Oh, a match. You startled me for a moment. I didn't see you there in the darkness. Yes, certainly I have a match.
Do you care for a smoke?
No, thank you. Yeah, I'll strike the match for you.
Blow out that flame, Bart.
What?
Keep your hands just where they are now. You shouldn't have let him strike that match, you fool.
Yeah, but
get down the street and keep a sharp watch.
Now, see here, I...
Go on, Bart, move.
All right, Henry, but I didn't mean to have him strike the match. Swap me, I didn't.
Go right to your wallet.
You'll not get away with this.
It's all clear, Henry.
I have influence, I want you to know. Great influence. You've picked the wrong man tonight.
Stop jabbering. Take that ring off your finger. Come on, get it off. What are you trembling about? A man with your influence?
The ring's stuck.
You better hurry and get it off, mister.
Here you are.
Someone's coming down the street.
You see? You'll never get away with it.
Now your pocket watch hung so elegantly across your plump stomach.
Henry, they're still coming. Hurry.
Fine-looking watch.
You'll pay for this. You see, I'll have you tracked down. Remember, I saw your faces when I struck the light.
You did it there, didn't you?
Well, at least I think I...
Henry, there's two of them. They're just down the street.
I'm almost through. No, it's too bad you've such keen eyesight, my friend.
I really don't think I could identify you positively. I mean, I just caught a momentary glimpse.
Yes.
Please don't do anything to me. I've got three children at home.
That's very unfortunate. I feel so sorry for your three children.
Don't use that gun. Please. I'll give you anything.
Henry, you shot him. You shouldn't have done that, Henry.
What's this, Bart? Are you trying to tell me what to do?
No, but you heard what he said. He's a man of influence.
Don't let that bother you, Bart. His influence is now at an end.
I'll be glad to get in the house tonight, right enough. This night's done me in.
It's a fine night, Bart. Look at those stars winking down at us as if they shared our every secret.
There you go, talking crazy again. I wonder what we got out of him.
We'll count it when we get in the room.
You see how I'm learning, Henry? Knew just the streets he'd take, and right to the minute.
Yes, it was also very clever of you to let him strike that match.
Here we are, home sweet home, up the stairs
and... walking down the street. Do as I say.
Sure, Henry.
Walk natural, not too fast.
What's wrong?
I don't know. But there were two policemen waiting for us in the hallway. This is Henry Bell, Mrs. Graham.
What are you calling me for? I don't want no trouble.
Oh, I'm trying to keep you from trouble. A friend of mine said he passed your rooming house tonight. There were police in the hallway. He knew I roomed with you, so he told me. I just called to see if I could be of help, that's all.
Who are you trying to fool, Henry Bell?
Yeah?
You know why the police are at my house. They're waiting for you and Bart.
For me?
I should go right into the hall and call them. Where are you telephoning from?
Well, what do they want of us?
By the looks of them, it's no social call they're making.
Well, we've not done anything.
Well, that's not what they say. They say you've killed a man. A very important man.
That's a lie.
Well, according to them, the man saw your faces for a moment. From his description before he died, the police nerved you and Bart.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Graham.
Wait, don't go yet. If I find out anything else, where can I reach you?
What's that? What are you trying to pull off?
Nothing at all. just want to help you and Bart, that's all.
Goodbye, Mrs. Graham.
No, don't hang up yet.
Do you think I'm going to give you time to trace this call? I'm so sorry. I can't oblige.
Give me the phone. Bell, this is Inspector Lane of Scotland Yard.
Yes, Inspector. Goodbye to you, too.
It's no use, Bell. You have no chance in the world. Give yourself up.
I don't think so, Inspector.
You shot the wrong man tonight, Bell. You shot Donald Bailey. The Right Honorable Donald Bailey with a seat in the House of Commons.
I'm getting up in the world, aren't I?
We'll get you before morning. We're forming a dragnet that stretches across the entire city. You can't escape.
Is that so, Inspector? Would you like to wager on it? Well, did you get the train tickets?
I couldn't, Henry. I just couldn't. They got coppers all over the railway.
Stars should do anything right anymore.
What are we going to do, Henry? What are we going to do?
Hello, Dick. Listen, you've got to hide us out. We've been running from the police all night. We can't take it much longer. Dick? Dick, are you there? Hello? Hello, hello?
Henry.
Not so loud. Will he help us?
I'm worn out, I tell you. I'm worn out.
Will he help us?
He wants no part of us. No one in the old blooming city will help us, and that's a fact.
The ungrateful.
And that ain't all, Henry.
What?
The coppers have thrown a barricade around this entire district. Won't let anyone in or out. And all the time they're squeezing in tighter. Squeezing in tighter, Henry. What makes you think Sam will help us, Henry?
Sam will do anything for money.
You shouldn't have killed him, Henry. Not a right honorable gentleman like him.
Right honorable gentleman. What else should I have done?
I don't know. You're the one that always figures out. You're supposed to watch out for us.
I am watching out for us. If you hadn't let him strike that match and let him see our faces, this would never have happened.
Well, I do like you tell me, Henry. It's like I always say, you got the brains, but you need more than brains, and that's where I come in.
Then do as I tell you now. Stop talking. Come along.
Wait. Look. There's someone walking down the street.
Let him walk. Act natural.
I think it's a copper, Henry.
Just keep walking. Here, let's turn down this street.
Henry. Henry. I tell you, it's a copper. Look. He's turning down the street with us.
All right. Just take it easy. Don't do anything to raise his suspicion.
I'm scared, Henry. I'm scared.
Shut up. Yeah, you see, he didn't follow us. Here, that's Sam's house just ahead. He'll hide us out.
I hope so.
Up these stairs.
I'll ring the bell. Why doesn't he answer?
Take it easy.
Where is he?
Who's there?
It's me, Sam. Henry.
Okay.
Sam, we're in trouble. Terrible trouble.
Quiet, Bart. Sam, we got into a little mix-up tonight.
I heard all about it.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're obliged, Sam. Much obliged. Been running from the coppers all night.
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, sit down. Rest yourself.
Bart gets a bit excited, Sam. It's really not that bad.
Not bad, he says.
How much did you get off the guy?
Well, we haven't counted it yet.
Look, every cop in town is looking for you. I'm taking a big chance doing this.
What do you mean, Sam?
How much did you get?
We'll take care of you, Sam.
I'll take care of myself.
So that's the way it is, huh?
That's the way it is.
It's a dirty trick.
You think so? Come here to the window, both of you. Look through these curtains.
The copper.
Right.
Yeah, he's the one that was following us.
You see, I'm sticking my neck way out. And I'm not doing it for my health.
We didn't get very much, Sam.
Don't give me that. Come on, let's see it.
But...
Yes, Henry?
I want to talk to Sam alone.
But, Henry, we don't have no secrets, you and I. We are partners, we are.
Bart, Why don't you go in the back and wash up, huh?
As Sam says, Bart. Well, go on.
All right, all right. But it's a mighty peculiar way for a partner to act, if you ask me.
Now, what did you want to talk about, Henry?
I need the money I got tonight, Sam. I've got plans. Great plans running through my brain.
You have, huh?
You don't imagine for one minute, do you, Sam, that I'm content doing what I am now?
Bart seems content.
Oh, that ox. If he hadn't let that fellow strike that match, we wouldn't have been in this mess at all. No, I'm afraid my plans go beyond my friend Bart.
Well, what's all this got to do with me?
You're from America, where they know how to think big. I admire you, Sam. You think like I think. You're quick to grab hold of an opportunity when it presents itself. I like that in a man.
Well?
I've got a few deals in my mind where I could use a man like you. You're smart, Sam. Very smart.
Yeah, maybe. I know one thing. I'm too smart to hook up with a marked man.
Marked?
You killed the wrong fella, Henry.
But that was Bart's fault.
I don't care whose fault it was. You got a date with a noose. You may delay it by thrashing about this way and that, but in the end, they'll catch you.
That's not true.
Have you finished your little talk, you two?
I think so. I'll take the wallet, Henry.
It's not fair, Sam.
All right, I'm a reasonable man. I'll take nothing, and you can go back to the street.
Here's the wallet.
Thank you. After all, Henry, you just said you admired me because I grab hold of an opportunity when it presents itself. Anything else?
Just this ring.
How about cufflinks or watches? Didn't you pick the guy's watch?
He wasn't carrying a watch.
Okay. You two go in the next room and get some sleep. Go on.
Yeah, so fagged out, I could sleep forever.
You'll be on the lookout, won't you, Sam?
Sure. Go on, go to sleep, and don't worry.
Blighter. Had no business taking the ring and wallet.
Well, there ain't much we can do about it. He took everything.
Not everything.
What do you mean?
I'm not exactly a fool, Bart. Look at this watch. Didn't get that.
Say, that looks pretty.
It's a fine watch, solid gold.
Yeah, we'll be able to get £10 on that, all right.
£10, nothing. I'm retaining this watch. I've been needing one for some time now.
Yeah, that ain't fair, Henry.
Why not?
Oh, we're supposed to be partners, we are. That means 50-50 on everything.
Don't be such a fool, Bart. I'm the one that runs this little partnership, remember that?
Well, all the same.
All the same, nothing. I'm keeping this watch, and I don't want to hear you mention it again.
You're acting mighty queer, Henry. You didn't used to be like this.
Perhaps I don't appreciate your stupidity as much as I should. Yes, perhaps that's it.
Oh, tonight was just a mistake.
Just a mistake. Where are you going?
I'm going to turn out the lights.
Why?
I want to see if that copper's still out in front.
Well, that's more like it, Bart. Show some signs of having a brain when you think of things like that.
I'll just raise this blind a bit and... Henry!
Stop shouting like that. Come here, quick. What is it now?
Look down there on the street.
Where?
There's Sam talking to the policeman, and he's pointing to this house.
Why, that...
Now they're coming across the street. What are we going
to
do?
Come on, quick. There's a back entrance to this house.
But where can we go now?
We've no time to think about that. Let's get out of here.
Gents.
Cup of tea.
Same for me.
Two cups of tea. Nothing else? I've got some fine slab cake.
Nothing else, just tea.
Tea it is.
What are we going to do?
Let me think.
If we only had enough money to get away, we could hire a car.
No use talking about that. We haven't a penny.
Oh, you could get some money for that watch.
At this time of night.
We could find a pawn shop somewhere. We could sell it to someone on the street.
It's out. I have a right to keep the watch. Gives me a certain distinction. I don't intend to give it up.
But it's our own...
Shh! Waiter's coming back.
Here's your tea. You sure you don't want some slab cake?
How late do you stay open?
Till midnight. The underground train stop running at 11:30. And I get a pretty good trade from them.
Suppose you bring me a slice of that cake, if it's as good as you say it is.
Slab cake, right, too.
But he said, does a good business here.
Yeah, must have plenty in the till. That's what you were thinking, eh, Henry?
If we had enough money, we could get away from here till it cools off.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you suppose you could do something right for a change?
Well, Henry, I didn't mean to.
Here he comes again.
Here you are. Now, if you don't mind, I want to get the news. It's just coming on.
This is the BBC news resume. The conference at Potsdam is proceeding well, according to reports. Prime Minister Attlee has returned to Potsdam.
Next time he comes back, we'll do it.
All right, Henry.
When I put the gun on him, you make a rush for the cash register. You have to move fast because a customer might come in at any minute.
Wait. Listen to the wireless. It's about us.
Promise an arrest within very few hours. Names and descriptions of the criminals are known to the authorities. Every means of escape is being watched.
Why don't we give ourselves up, Henry? I tell you, it's no use.
We'll not give ourselves up.
But
I told you before, I'm making the decision.
They're getting closer all the time. I can feel it. I can, like a noose round me neck.
Don't talk like that.
And all for nothing. All we got out of it was an old watch.
It's the breaks of the game. It's a mighty fine watch.
All the time getting closer. You heard what the wireless said. There's nothing left for us to do. Here comes a car down the street.
Yes, here, in this doorway.
Stop him.
All right, men. Let's give this block the going over. They can't be far from us now.
You hear that?
Yes, I hear it all right.
Let's give up, Henry.
No.
Maybe they'll give us a chance.
They'll not give us any chance. Hurry, walk down this alleyway. Keep close to the wall.
We'll never get away.
They haven't caught us yet, my lad.
The night's only begun.
Wait a minute. What's that entrance down there at the end of the street?
I don't see it.
There, there, with the warning lights burning over it.
There. Looks like the subway entrance.
There's a sign on it. Let's see if I can read it by the light of a street lamp.
Yeah, the cops will be on us in a few moments.
Be quiet. Let me see. Station no longer in use. Enter through Brighton Station, 2 squares north.
Come on, Henry.
This gives me an idea.
We can't waste any time.
Remember what the waiter said.
What?
He said the train stopped running at 11:30. After that, the tube's empty until early morning.
Well?
Let me look at my watch. Almost 20 minutes to 12. We finally got a break.
What do you mean?
The subways will be empty. We can escape through the tube.
Is it safe?
Certainly it's safe. Look at the watch for yourself. 11:40, it says.
Hey, you!
Henry, it's stop. Them!
Stop!
Tell me, Steps, hurry!
There they go.
Hurry, hurry.
Oh, my ankle.
Oh, come on,
I
come on.
Can't.
Yes, you can.
They're going down that subway. Bring up the lights.
We're trapped, Henry.
There we're not. We're going along the tracks.
But it's dangerous.
It's not dangerous. Remember the train stopped running 15 minutes ago. Come on.
Ooh, my ankle hurts.
You can see them anywhere.
Where are
they?
All right, after them. Henry, they'll catch us this time.
No, they won't.
I keep stumbling against the rail.
I'm going to light a match and see where we are.
But that's what got us into trouble before, Henry.
They have to take a chance now.
There they are. Come out there. We've got you cut off.
Henry.
Forget it. We've a way out.
A way out? Where?
I can see it in the light. Just a few feet, the subway branches off. We've a 50-50 chance that we take the tunnel to the left. The two constables wouldn't dare split up knowing I have a gun.
Yeah, maybe that's right.
I know it's right.
Well, are you coming out?
I'm afraid I can't oblige, Inspector. Afraid I can't oblige.
Come here. I think we're going to be all right.
I told you so. They took the main tunnel, just as I figured.
Don't get frightened too easily, Bart.
But it's so black in here and narrow. Just room for the rails.
That's what it was made for.
We'll have to be careful to get out before morning, before the trains start running again.
You won't have to worry about that.
But if we went to sleep, I have to think about what would happen.
I said, you won't have to worry about that.
What do you mean, Henry?
I've been thinking.
About what?
About a lot of things. You know, being down here 100 feet beneath the earth is good for the mind.
There you go, talking crazy again.
Oh, crazy, is it, Bart? Well, here's something for you to think over, my boy.
What are you talking about?
You're stupid, Bart. You know that, don't you?
Well,
you're big and strong, but you can't think, Bart. You rely on me for everything.
Well, I do my best, Henry. You can't say that.
You have a very bad habit of interrupting, Bart.
I'm sorry.
Didn't you ever wonder why I bothered to take you along with me on these jobs?
Well,
I'll tell you, Bart. I'm a man of mentality. I'm a planner. But I don't like to soil my hands with dirty work. That's why I let you hang around just to do my dirty work.
Well, I always figure you need more than brains. You need muscles, too. I didn't think it was just dirty work, Henry. I don't know what you're getting at.
Just this. You're no help to me anymore. You hurt your ankle, and in the morning you have trouble moving around. And then, too, your attitude's been annoying me.
Well, what have I done?
When I'm annoyed by someone, I just walk out on them.
Henry.
But in your case, there's a drawback to that. You see, I don't want you around to talk to the police, Bart. So there's only one thing I can do. I'll have to kill you.
You may have the brains, Henry, but I'm strong enough to kill you with one swipe.
Stay where you are, Bart. You forget I have the gun. Strange, isn't it, how a gun can make me just as strong as you?
Don't do it, Henry. We've always been a team. Don't do it.
The body of Bart drops to the tracks. A thin smile crosses Henry's lips. Then he straightens his clothes and begins walking down the tracks. Somewhere along the line, there'd be a station. He would escape through that. Without Bart, he could move around quickly, lay low till the excitement died down, then come back again. He began whistling as he walked along, hands in his pockets. His fingers touched the fine gold watch. That was something really to be proud of. Yes, he would go away. Maybe he'd go to the sea. A nice rest wouldn't hurt him. He'd always find a way to pick up a few pounds and maybe find a sweet young thing to...
What's that?
Henry pauses uncertainly. Looks back where the sound is growing. But the sound was getting nearer and nearer.
The train! It can't be! Gotta get out of here!
He stumbles over the tracks, jumps into his feet, and rushes on. His hands brush the narrow walls for some way of escape.
It can't be! The train stopped running at 11:30. It just can't be!
But now the sound of the approaching train fills the tunnel. No escape! Then, the growing light, Henry sees a way out.
A door! An emergency door! Get it open!
He throws himself against the door. His fingers tighten around the handle. And the rumble of the train is now a continuous thunder.
Turn open! It must!
But the handle, unused for years, refuses to budge. Now the train is rounding the last bend in the tunnel, its headlights spearing through the gloom.
Open!
But Henry hasn't the strength to open the door. In his last frantic terror, as he turns to face the onrushing train, a sudden thought knifes its way to his tortured mind.
You need more than brains, Henry. You need muscles, too.
Bart had said that. Bart had the strength. Bart could have opened the door. Henry raises his arms as if to ward off a terrible blow, and the train thunders on.
Thank you. across London in a small office in the city morgue. The widow of the Right Honorable Donald Bailey has come to claim the personal effects of her late husband.
This is all we found on him, madam. His clothes, this tie clip, the umbrella, and the loose change.
They weren't satisfied to steal his wallet and his ring. They even had to take his watch.
Was it a valuable watch?
Only to him. It had been in his family for generations and had become quite antiquated. Kept time very badly. Gained an hour a day or more. Yes, I dare say whoever stole the watch will have nothing but trouble. If time means anything to him.
Next week, over most of these stations, we'll bring you another original story about the land of the shadows, Eclipse. The strange tale of a man who woke from unconsciousness to find himself a hunted murderer. It will give you another opportunity to examine at close range the strange impulses which lure human beings into their dark ventures.
Pursuit was written by Larry Marcus and Robert Light and featured Marvin Miller as Henry and Eric Snowden as Bart. The narrator was John Lake. Original music by Dean Fossler. Ladies and gentlemen, your government needs your help during the current meat shortage. Yes, your government asks you, as a patriotic duty, to play square with meat. If every person paid no more than legal ceiling prices and exchanged the proper ration points for meat, the black market would be stamped out. It's that simple and that difficult. Your government, through the Office of Price Administration, sets these rationing and price controls to protect you, to ensure you that you'll get your fair share of the meat available. So do your share. Play square with meat. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.